Hey everybody, it's Rich Toll, and thanks for tuning in to Tola Talks, my 21st century talk for a no bullshit world. Because who doesn't want to achieve the best, even when those around you don't think or believe you will achieve the best? Because who really cares what they think, as long as you believe it, and the key is to be going for the best. And in keeping with our theme from yesterday, which was the top 10 most educated cities, we're gonna stay with that. Higher learning and higher education, and give you the top 10 schools and universities in the world. We're going to do that today based on a ranking by U.S. News and World Report. We're going to get to that, but first, let's talk about yesterday's show. If you didn't get a chance to see it, it was Movie Monday, and I reviewed The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1, starring the lovely and talented Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah, check it out if you guys want to get a sample there. I give it a 1, 2, or 3 thumbs, but yeah, you go check it out for yourself. It's on my blog. Blogged it out on the website, richtola.com, as well as it was our first YouTube premiere. So we're bringing to you live the Tola Talk show. Is coming to you live every day through YouTube and the MP3. So check it out on the site, where you also find my Rich Picks, the best of the best, the 25 short clips from the 60 shows we did at LA Talk Radio. You guys remember that? Spent 3 months there. Give a shout out to the folks over there. Yeah, had a lot of fun with the premiere yesterday. You can find it there as well as on the social media. Look for me at Rich Toller, right? At Rich Toller, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I mean, there's so much social media going on these days. You can find me everywhere. And yeah, please subscribe to the YouTube channel to get us every day. We're doing 30-minute shows, remember, so we're going to keep them short and sweet, bring some guests on for you pretty soon. But right now, let's get started with today's show. And we'd like to get started with some celebrity birthday shout-outs, right? Let's get started with these two twins, two ladies. They're 33 years old, Barbara and Jenna Bush. Everybody knows the Bush sisters, or daughters, of George W. Bush and First Lady Laura Welsh Bush. Yeah, and our buddy George Bush did go to Harvard, who is ranked in the top 10. You're going to see that later. Happy birthday to Christina Applegate. Oh, I love her. Everybody knows her. She received fame from Kelly Bundy, remember, from 87 to 97. She played on Married with Children. What an awesome show. She's most recently in Anchorman 2. You saw her there. Currently filming Vacation with Chris Hemsworth. Sexiest man alive, based on People magazine, right? And his brother Liam was in yesterday, right? We talked about him in The Hunger Games. A couple kissing scenes, but not much with Jennifer. Yeah, so check it out. Also, Vacation, you got Chevy Chase, remember? Ed Helms is in it. You got Caitlin Olsen and Charlie Day. They're from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I played an extra on one of their shows. But check it out. And Christina, love her. You know, she originally started acting when she was 5 months old. Her mom got her into a Playtex nurses commercial. Pretty cool. Who's 54 today? Well, this is a rest in peace birthday shout out to John F. Kennedy Jr. Sad day back in 1999, July 16th. He perished in a plane accident right nearby Martha's Vineyard, if you guys recall that. He was a publisher of the magazine George, lawyer. In the plane crash, he did die with his wife, Carolyn Jean Bissett, remember, and her older sister, Lauren. That's a sad story. I mean, a lot of folks in New York City, I mean, I spent 12 years there. They go on vacation up in Martha's Vineyard. It was a real foggy day, and I don't think they could explain. I may have got disoriented why the plane went down, but, you know, give a shout out to John would have been 54. And if you guys recall, when he was 3 years old, the little boy, he gave a perfect fond farewell salute to his dad as the motorcade was passing through. But rest in peace, John. And how about another celebrity? John Larroquette is 67 today. I mean, he's a great actor. By the way, a friend of mine did work with John once and said this guy could read 5 pages of script, memorize it. He's got a photographic memory. Said he was unbelievable with dialogue. I mean, his first acting credit was on Sanford and Son. Remember back in 1975? 1975, he was on one episode. He was on Kojak. I mean, in the 70s, he was on Rich Man, Poor Man. Remember that miniseries from 76? I remember that. I'm definitely showing my age. In the 80s, he was on Three's Company, Mork and Mindy, Fantasy Island, Remington Steele, Dallas. I mean, he's made the TV runs for sure. He was most recently, I guess, in the 90s, Boston Public. Remember the practice with Dylan McDermott? And right now he's working on The Librarians with Noah Wiley. Remember ER? Noah and Rebecca Romijn. So that's kind of cool. I mean, he's still cooking it up. He was on Night Court, as you know, for a long time, and then he had his own show for a while. So, John, way to go, my man. You're 67. Keep it rocking. And another rest in peace birthday shout out to one of the greats, probably the greatest of all time, one of Jolton Joe DiMaggio, right? Remember Jolton Joe, famous New York Yankee, one of the great baseball players in the Hall of Fame, married Marilyn Monroe when she was 27, got married up in San Francisco. I think he was around 40 or so. He did the, remember he hit the 56-game hitting streak in 1941, took him 10 years later to retire, but he would be 100 years old today. So here you go, Joe D, RIP. So on this day in history, we like to go back, right? Honor the past. Don't live in the past. Don't futurize. One of my Get Your Shit Together podcasts. Got to live in the present. But let's give a give an honor to the past with some of these here. 1783, on this day in 1783, Britain evacuated New York City. It was his last military position in the United States. But the official end, it was the Revolutionary War era, big Revolutionary War fan and George Washington fan. It actually ended on September 3rd, 1783. So about 10 weeks later, they totally left the U.S. And that was, you recall, the Revolutionary War ended with the Treaty of Paris, which recognizes the American independence. Yeah, check it out. And in 1920, on this day, it was the first Thanksgiving Day parade. Where did it take place? Philadelphia. Went to University of Pennsylvania, so love Philly. No, it's not the Mummers Day Parade, which takes place every New Year's, which dates back to George Washington era in the 1700s. But yeah, first Thanksgiving Day Parade on this day in 1920. 1940, 20 years later, on the exact same day, Woody Woodpecker debuts with the release of Walter Lentz's Knock Knock. I mean, we did a Tweety Bird happy birthday the other day. That was kind of cool. And so here you go to Woody Woodpecker. It's been around a long time. 1949, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer appeared in the music charts for the first time. Yeah, Gene Autry sang it. It was written 10 years before when the movie came out or the film came out. But then Gene Autry sang it. It hit number one on the charts the week of Christmas. But it actually was the first number one song of the 1950s. It hit the number one at January 7th, 1950. So pretty cool fact there. 1963, on this day, as we know, JFK, the father, was laid to rest pursuant to his assassination in Arlington National Cemetery. Thus, the three-year-old salute, we saw that. 1966, rest in peace to JFK, one of the most well-liked, one of the probably greatest presidents of all time. For sure. 1966, the Jimi Hendrix Experience. Who can forget Jimi Hendrix? Okay. It made its London debut at Bag and Nails Club. Pretty cool name for a pretty weird name for a club. But Jimi Hendrix, one of the great guitar players, a lefty, by the way. You guys know that. 1979, on this day, what happened? Two guys connected, and they stayed connected for 22 years. Two great announcers, Pat Summerall and John Madden. Awesome. What a team they made for 22 years, right? Bringing to you NFL football. Here you go. Little throwback there. Moving on. Little bell to transition like that. We're calling this Lucky 7, right? We go around the globe for the latest news. Lucky 7. What's Lucky 7? Well, maybe it should be Lucky 700, that is. What are we talking about? Apple stock mania. Apple computer, right? I mean, I'm a big Apple fan, no doubt. Well, put an exclamation mark to the company's market value. It topped $700 billion with a B. Yeah, a lot more than what Mark Zuckerberg is worth. But it's the first time that a company has ever surpassed that value. Huge. Shares of the tech giant traded close to $120. Last I checked, I think it was 118 and change. But it's given this company a never-before-seen $700 billion market cap. Yeah, breathtaking run. And the analysts that predicted over 18 months, it would take 18 months to get to 118.88. Well, it's already there. So, hey, these guys got to redo their numbers. Analysts are always redoing their numbers based on earnings changes. But, hey, you can't predict the public. The public's running this up for sure. Definitely a breathtaking value. It's now trading at 18.1 times trailing diluted earnings. I'm a finance guy, but we're not going to get into all what that means. But basically, it trades off of earnings, 18 times. That's a pretty big number because the last time it was valued at that high, it was valued at 18.03, basically the same was April of 2012. Well, guess what? The stock fell apart. It dropped a lot, lost a lot of its value within a year, and it was trading at 9 times. So, yeah, we just know this, and this is with our next story calling Nothing Goes Straight Up, because nothing goes straight up. Everybody knows that. Anybody's owned stocks in their lifetime. But hey, what's the good news? NASDAQ, right? The 100 stock index, NASDAQ, is climbing to a new record. It's approaching the peak at March 10th, 2010, the year 2000. I remember this. Remember the Y2K? Well, March 10th, my mother's birthday. Give a shout out. Hey, Mom. And March 10th, 2000 is when it hit its all-time high of $5,048.62. What happened after that, though? Not good. 3 years later, it dropped 75% of its value. The NASDAQ came down to 1,265. So what we do know is nothing goes straight up. I've been around these financial markets for 30 years, right? I worked for Goldman Sachs in 1985 coming out of school. Well, guess what? I've seen all sorts of things happen. What we do know is there's bubbles. Things go up, things go down, but don't believe that things just go straight up. That I knew from the dot-com era in the year 2000. I had a dot-com company. Read about that in my memoir, theaskingprice.com. Well, guess what? One day I'm worth $10 million. The next day I'm worth zero. Well, maybe not the next day. 6 month slide. It's a slippery slope when it starts sliding, but no worries. I mean, if you're invested in the markets, you got to be patient. You got to hang in there. Be like the Oracle of Omaha, right? Warren Buffett. He's one of the, you know, another billionaire genius. He buys what he likes. Coca-Cola, Duracell battery. I mean, we talked about him recently. But buy what you like, buy what you believe in, and hang in there for the long term. I mean, he did. And I think one share of Berkshire Hathaway sells for, what, $220,000? Like, it's insane. So there you go. Sit tight, folks. Watch this bubble. Maybe it comes down a little bit, but no worries. We're going back up. I think the Dow Jones is going to hit 20,000. This NASDAQ's going to get to 6,000 for sure. But again, nothing goes straight up. How about our next story? We're calling this TGI Friday. Why? Well, it's not Friday. It's Tuesday. Why am I calling it TGI Friday? We talked about Black Friday yesterday. Well, guess what? It has nothing to do with shopping. More importantly, it has to do with your weight. What does that mean? Well, these are the experts, these guys doing a report, okay? They say, for most of us, the weekends, well, not me, the weekends are a time to relax, to indulge, get more sleep, you party a little more, you do a little more couch time, you eat a little more. Guess what? I don't believe in that. No. Every day is the same. Get up, work out, stay focused, monitor my weight. Well, anyway, this is what we're saying, okay? On the weekends, you beef it up a little bit. On Monday, you always weigh more than Friday. Well, that seems kind of obvious, right? Well, I'm one of those guys that think you got to keep your weight the same every day. I get on the scale every single day. I do. I want to pay attention to it. It's like if I got in the car and I didn't look at the gas tank, I want to pay attention to what's going on in my body on any given day. I've been doing that for 30 years and I keep my weight exactly the same. But if you're one of those that fluctuates, yeah, they're telling you don't worry about it. Like it's okay. According to a report, right, in the Journal of Obesity Facts, which we know where obesity is going, over 30% in this country. I talk about that in previous shows. There's all sorts of stuff out there. I did a podcast, Get Your Shit Together, about Point of No Return. You got to pay attention to your weight, folks. But this study saying Sundays and Mondays brought in the highest weight scores. No kidding. Fridays, the lowest. They did an 80-adult survey. So they took 80 people, 80 adults. They monitored their weight. Okay, we all know that. And here's what they say. Everybody's weight follows a predictable weekly rhythm. You gain a little bit over the weekend and lose a little bit over the middle of the week, or over the week. Well, I don't know about that, but I guess that's what they're saying. And they say the authors agree. Here's what they agreed to. Some indulging during weekends makes no harm, but for successful weight loss, it's important to notice these rhythms and take steps to reverse the upward trends. No kidding. Brian Wainsink of Cornell University, who makes our list, of course. But hey, Brian, we're talking about indulging, some indulging, you know, reverse the upward trend. First of all, you don't want to be on a diet the rest of your life, okay? And this is what they're talking about. I believe, again, you got to use that word vigilant about your weight. If you're someone who has a It's got to watch your weight. Who has a weight problem, you got to be vigilant. Or unless you don't care about it. If you don't care about the fluctuation and gaining weight, that's fine too. It's your body. It's your world. But I think for health reasons, you feel better. You look better. Why not keep it lean and mean? If you can, if you can't, you know, so be it. But guess what? I don't believe in this, you know. These obesity blogs say it's not a bad thing to cheat your diets and habits on the weekends. Kind of like a reverse weekend warrior. Again, I don't believe in that. It says it allows you to enjoy some highly flavored but potentially caloric dense, no kidding, foods in moderation, right? Potentially increasing your long-term adherence to a diet. So what they're saying is you could splurge on the weekend, but no worries, it's going to positively affect your long-term diet. Where the hell are you getting that from there? I don't believe that. That's bullshit. Because now you're going to get into a trend of partying on the weekends and saying, oh, great, I get to beef up, I get to plump on the weekends, and I'm going to cut back during the week. Well, what happens when you get to a holiday week like this week, where you plumped up during the week, and now you're making excuses that you can't work out, you have no time to work out because you're busy getting ready for Thanksgiving, then you eat like a maniac, then you go shopping and you eat more, then you start boozing because it's a long weekend, you wake up, 10 days later, you're 10 pounds heavier. That's how it happens, folks. It does. It just gets away from you. In no time, boom, your weight's up. So monitor it every day. It's really simple. Pay attention. Okay, if the gas goes down to zero, what are you going to like try to ride on? No, you're going to put some gas back in the car. It's the same thing. If you feel yourself getting plump, then you got to pay attention to it on a daily basis. It's a hell of a lot easier to cut back your intake in one day than it is to cut back 10 pounds worth over 10 days. That's what I believe. So, hey, good luck with that. Plumping up on the weekends, to me, same thing every day. Let's move on. I like this one. Well, I don't really like this story, but this is important. It's called Let There Be Peace. Okay, what are we talking about? Everybody knows about the violence that's erupted in Ferguson, Missouri. I talked about this in a previous show. Okay, yesterday evening, you got all sorts of demonstrators throughout the whole country now, right? Because there's no criminal indictment on the police officer, Darren Wilson, for the August shooting death of the teen, Michael Brown. Okay, we all know about this. White officer, a black man who gets shot. Physical and scientific evidence say there's no, they can't indict this guy. They can't prove that this guy was at fault. Protesters across the nation marched, chanted with their discontent of the decision. Well, they did more than march and chant, unfortunately. Stores were looted. Fires were set. Pizza restaurants, drug stores, parking lots, chaos. Chaos isn't good. Okay, but the grand jury, we know, chose not to indict him. From New York City, Philadelphia, Chicago, Arizona, LA, protesters are yelling, no justice, no peace, no racial police. Or no justice, no peace, no racist police. Hands up, don't shoot. Even in New York City, Commissioner William Bratton, he's doing a great job over there, was splashed with fake blood as protesters threw things on him. And he wasn't injured, but, you know, people, this is where you got to pay attention to your fellow mankind. We talk about fellow mankind, fellow womankind, okay? Understand that you're unhappy with a decision that was made in the courts about something you weren't there. Were you there? You don't know what occurred. I don't know what occurred. Who knows what occurred, okay? If here's a guy, we don't know who was at fault, but what we're saying is forget about the incident. Yeah, that's a whole nother ball of wax. But what President Obama says, I agree. He says there's ways of challenging your concerns constructively and ways of challenging your concerns destructively. Don't be destructive, people, okay? This brings me right into the Get Your Shit Together Award. Normally, we give out the award to someone who does something stupid, right? Did your Get Your Shit Together podcast, a 30-episode podcast. You'll find that on my website, on iTunes as well. Basically, how to get your shit together in every area of your life. Point of no returns about obesity. Talk about finding your bliss. Talk about take out the machete, whack it off for the loser boyfriend. But what this is about your fellow man. It's about being respectful. It's about not destroying someone else's personal property, not destroying someone else's business. You can't do that. You got to get your shit together. It's one thing to be heard, no doubt. We're a free country. You want to express yourself. You want to communicate that, look, if something went down that wasn't right with this police officer, with this black man, well, guess what? He should be penalized for that without a doubt. But you can't go around and subjecting other human beings to your anger. just because you're upset over what someone else did and what went down. You can't do that, because think about how you're affecting your fellow man. You can't be disrespectful. You can't ruin someone's livelihood because you're unhappy with a decision. Well, guess what? It's one thing to be heard. It's another thing to be destructive. Don't be destructive. You got to get your shit together. So all those people, they were peaceful in LA, but I remember back in the Rodney King riots. I mean, when people are non-peaceful and destructive, they need to be penalized for that. You cannot do that, people. Do not do that. Do not subject other people to your anger and your harm, because you will hurt people and you will hurt lives, okay? On that note, everyone out there who's doing shit that they should be, get your shit together. That's important, okay? Think about humanity. Think about society, okay? Don't be selfish. Just like the people who are boozing it up on the weekends and overeating, that's a selfish act, okay? If you weren't selfish, you'd be cutting back, being lean to be a leader, lead by example to those, the loved ones around you, because I believe that. Being in great physical condition, you're in great health. And what's it about? Living a great life, being in great health and positive atmosphere, positive mindset. Same thing here. Turn it into a positive, not a negative. Eh. On that note, let's move on. Top 10 Tuesday, right? Now, I was going to give you a special top 20 and list the top 20 schools, but no, I'm going to stick with the top 10. But before we get into that, let's talk about what it means to be in the Ivy League, right? I was an Ivy Leaguer, went to University of Pennsylvania, and a lot of people think, ooh, it's an elitist thing. Well, let's talk about it, because how did it come about? It actually came about, the term started being used in 1954 based on the sports and the intercollegiate competitions between them, and they chose 8 schools to be exact, which are some of the oldest schools in the country, as well as what they formed called the Ivy League. The phrase represents an educational philosophy inherent to the nation's oldest schools, 8 to be exact, and it became official, like I said, 1954, after the formation of the NCAA Division I Athletic Conference. When I played, they called it the EIBL, Eastern Intercollegiate. So it was an Eastern Conference. Okay, and the Ivy League is a collegiate athletic conference conspiring these teams, eight universities from the Northeast United States. What are they? You should know what these are. Maybe you shouldn't know what these are, but I do. Played against all these, played at these schools, amazing schools. Brown University, the Bears in Providence, Rhode Island. Beautiful, beautiful town of Providence, right? Columbia University, the Lions, Upper West Side of Manhattan, New York City. Cornell University, the Big Red. They're in Ithaca, New York. By the way, Ithaca was ranked 4th. Yesterday's top 10 most educated cities, Ithaca was 4. Way to go. Dartmouth College, which is a tiny little college called the Big Green up in Hanover, New Hampshire. Wow, I remember how cold it was playing there. Right on the border there, the Vermont border. I think it was White River Junction. We stayed in a hotel there. Harvard University, everybody knows Harvard up in Boston, the Crimson. And Princeton, everybody knows Princeton, the Tigers. Right where I grew up, I used to take my dates to the reflecting pool at Woodrow Wilson School of Political Science, Palmer Square. Talked about Brooke Shields also. You'll go check out my previous shows. University of Pennsylvania, the Quakers. I was a Quaker, my alma mater. And Yale University, New Haven, the Bulldogs, where Mr. Bush, George Bush went. Good. Ivy League schools are viewed as some of the most prestigious in the world. And they all fall within the top 20, by the way, not always in the top 10. And again, the term Ivy League has certain connotations to it, academic excellence, selectivity in admissions, social elitism. Yeah. And basically, you're talking about a school that's larger than your typical private school, but smaller than the big public universities. You got it. Not to mention the large financial endowments. I mean, talk about endowments. Brown, being on the small side, is $3.2 billion with a B. And Harvard, largest in the world, is $36.4 billion. Those guys have so much money. What are we talking about? Harvard, I don't know. I mean, you probably should go to, anybody going to Harvard could go for free. They have so much money. But let's get to it. Let's get to the top 10 colleges and universities. Well, they rank them. There's nothing here from outside of the United States, but check out U.S. News and World Report. You can see all of them that are listed. They actually rank 201, and then they do some non-ranking, so they list a lot of schools in there. Check it out. Let's get started. 1 through 10. Here we go. Number 1, Princeton University. What could you say? It's been number one for a long time, I'm sure. And I'm just going to give you a couple facts here. Total fees and total enrollment. We're just going to give you those two. Total fees, $42,000 to go there and 8,000 students enrolled. Now, remember, doesn't include room and board. Add another 15, 20 grand, depending if you got a nice swanky place or you keep a car on campus. But you're talking about $250,000 for 4 years to go to any of these top 10. The average is around $46,000. So Princeton is actually on the low end. But they, again, they probably have so much money that they keep it affordable. Well, I don't know if it's affordable. Who's it affordable to? I came out of school with so much school debt, but hey, that's okay. If you can go for it, go for the best. Do your best to get into the best. Number two, Harvard University. $44,000 to go there, about 20,000 students. Pretty good size. Yale University, our buddy George Bush, $46,000, about 12,000 are enrolled there. And by the way, everyone in the top 10, they accept about, on average, 8%. Some schools are less, like Stanford, who's ranked number four, tied with Columbia and Stanford. Columbia's got 51,000 to go there. That's the most. They top the list of the top 10, and they have 24,000 students, okay? And Stanford, we know that. That's the Princeton of the West. Has 45,000 to go there. They have 18,000 students, and they accept 5.7%. So they're on the low end in terms of acceptance. And Duke is actually on the high end, and University of Pennsylvania accept 12%. But let's get back to the ranking. Tied for four as well. There were three people tied. Columbia, Stanford, University of Chicago. Yeah, went to school in Chicago. We'll get to that. Actually, it's ranked in the Northwestern, was my grad school alma mater. They were ranked number 13. They didn't make the top 10. But University of Chicago cost $49,000 to go there. They got 12,000 students. That's right, number seven. Because we did one, two, three. Three people tied for four, three schools. Number seven, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT. You know, rather, you know, not a huge program there. It's 45,000 with 11,000 students. Duke University and the University of Pennsylvania. My best buddy Rob went to Duke, so that's kind of cool. I think I graduated second in high school. He graduated third, so we were 2-3. I went to Penn. Let me tell you a quick story about my experience with Penn, which you can read all about in my memoir. But Penn and Duke, they both cost $47,000. Duke has 15,000 students. Penn has 21,000 students, a little less than Columbia. But I'll tell you this. This is what happened to me, okay? Now, imagine a 16-year-old. I'm in high school. My guidance counselor tells me, do not apply to the University of Pennsylvania. You won't get in because nobody from our school gets into an Ivy League school. It's, we're this public school. Doesn't matter. I'm going to finish number two out of 750 students. That doesn't make any difference. She's like, you're not going to get in. Well, when I was 13 years old, my father put me on the train and told me, we're going to send you to Philadelphia. When you get there, walk around the University of Pennsylvania. That's where you're going to go to school. Well, guess what? I told her, I'm going to go to University of Pennsylvania. Why not? She goes, don't apply. It's a waste of your time. Well, guess what? I got in, okay? Not only did I get in, I got in, then I transferred into Wharton because I worked my butt off. And what does that mean? Everything in life is time and energy, right? We only have so much time on this planet. It's temporary, and you got to apply yourself. So students out there, you're a C student today, doesn't matter. You can be an A student overnight. You can. Put the time in. Study. It's energy. Don't tell me you can't do it, okay? If you need help, get help from someone, but it's a function of time. Everything's a function of time. Put the time in. Study. Believe in yourself. Go there. Apply. Who says you can't get in? Just because people don't believe in you, believe in yourself. That's all that really matters. Hey, you got to believe in yourself because who's there for you at the end anyway? It's you, okay? Here we go. Number 10 is California Institute of Technology, coming back to Cali. So Cal... yeah, that's got $43,000 to go there and only 2,000 students. That's like a specialty school. That's our top 10. Who rounds out the top 20? Dartmouth is 11. Northwestern was 13, my alma mater. Cornell was 15. Columbia was tied with Notre Dame for 16, right? And, well, that rounds out to eight Ivies. And then I think University of California, Berkeley was 20. But we're talking, again, we're talking about a powerful education. This is the top 10, folks. If you don't think you got it to be in the top 10, then go for the next 10. Go for the next 10. Doesn't matter. If you want an education, believe you can get it and go get it. Power is in the knowledge. Remember, knowledge is power. There you go. And that's our show for today, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. You can check me out on the social media. It's at Rich Tola. Pretty simple. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all over the place. Website as well, richtola.com. You'll see this. We post the video with the MP3. So if you like the radio version, go ahead and play that as well. And yeah, check it out. You got the rich picks from the past. Man, we honor the past. You got the live music. Check out my girl Poison Ivy over there. She's rocking it. We got a lot of great artists, from Moses Stone was on The Voice to Eric Masick. Oh, yeah, really, really, really cool stuff. So check it out, richtola.com, and tune in tomorrow. Tomorrow's WTF Wednesday. It's the first WTF Wednesday. What the? We know what that is. Not sure what we're going to talk about just yet, but tune in. You'll find out, because I'm Rich Tola. And remember, dreams do come true. But hey, what do I know?